Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And during this segment, we're going to be taking a look again at the Omega House. I had these folks in here a few months ago, and it was a great conversation. They've got a concert, a fundraiser coming up. So it was another good opportunity to learn more about Omega House. Certainly with all the great things that they do and what they mean to this community, it's worth coming back to. So let me introduce Carol Peppercorn, Mike Lutz, and joining us also in studio is Kirsten Barando. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Mike, let's start with you with about Omega House. What is it? And, you know, people may they hear it because, you know, Omega House's name is pops up a lot of times. But they may not know, you know, what kind of place it is.
Sure. Well, the Omega House is a seven-bed facility that offers a peaceful, home-like environment for terminally ill people and provides end-of-life care that emphasizes compassion, independence, respect, and dignity. We work in cooperation with the local hospice agencies in town, and we provide residents with affordable care and 24-hour, 7-day-a-week attention. And we provide all the assistance to have a great quality of life. We do the meals, laundry. We just started a massage therapy program. So our residents are well taken care of in their final journey. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, well, who comes to the Omega House or who is it for? And, you know, a lot of folks, you know, want to, if they're going to, you know, pass away, they want to pass away at home. Well, we become their home. And it's really for, you know, we think of people that have a limited support situation at home. Maybe your caregiver there is not able to handle your daily needs. Or someone that is unable to or is fearful of caring for a loved one at home during the final phases of life. Those are the types of residents that we see coming to the Omega House.
You said that you work with hospice care organizations, but what separates you?
Well, we are licensed as an adult foster care home. So we are not a hospice home. And that's, I think there's confusion in the community at times with that. We are an AFC home, but the hospice agencies send in their nurses to do the care for all of our residents. We provide around-the-clock certified nursing assistants, qualified individuals that can take care of, you know, keeping the patient comfort-free and providing their meals and everything. But the hospice agencies actually send in their nurses to do a lot of the actual nursing work that needs to be done.
Can you talk about how you go about providing that comfort during that stage of life and the difference it makes for people that stay there?
Sure. Well, you know, from the moment you walk into the Omega House, you walk into our beautiful living room, and just the atmosphere itself is very inviting, very homey. We do not limit any type of visiting hours. You can come and go as you please. You can have as many family or friends come in. You can bring in your pet for a short period of time if you'd like. We allow the residents to and their families to make the room their own. They're going to be there for a while. So we let them, you know, have the kind of the run of the house. We offer Wi-Fi throughout the building. We have a laptop in the living room, an organ or a piano, cable TV in every room. And one thing on our rooms, everybody has their own room that's there. They don't share a room, and they're quite roomy to handle quite a few family members. Mm-hmm.
What do you see as the response from people that are staying there? Because, you know, they're going through a tremendously difficult time. And how does it help them? I mean, especially, I think, maybe mentally or spiritually.
Right. Well, we feel that, you know, they're getting the attention that they need, and the family sees that. We will do whatever we can to make their stay as pleasurable as we can. One thing that we do is, you know, we have seven beds, seven rooms, and right now the house is full. All seven beds are full. Residents can eat whatever they want. It's not uncommon to have seven meals, different meals cooked at one, you know, for a dinner time. So we're very accommodating to that fact.
Yeah, accommodating is a good word. And also, we offer a sense of peace. I've noticed that families appreciate, and happiness and laughter. People come into the house and they feel that they are at home.
You both touched on it briefly. Go ahead, Kirsten.
Oh, I was just going to say that I should say for the audience out there that I'm actually involved with a fundraiser, but I went into the Omega House for the first time when I was starting to plan this fundraiser with Carol, and I was surprised because I've seen the outside and it's just such a professional looking building on the outside, and the offices when I went in inside are also very professional, but when I went into the living room, it felt like I was in somebody's living room, and we had our meeting in the kitchen area, and it was very much like sitting down in somebody's home and having a conversation at their kitchen table. I mean, I've gone into people's houses and planned a concert sitting at someone's kitchen table, and that's exactly what it felt like. It felt like I was in someone's home, which was interesting because of how professional everything looks on the outside and how professional the office space is, and yet they're able to have this warmth and this life in the areas for the residents. So as you guys are talking about how there's so much laughter and happiness and a home-like feeling, it really, like, the first impression really was that for me.
Right.
Yeah.
You both had mentioned the families, and, you know, as you're talking about it, I can see how this would be such a relief to the children who are considering this option for their parents, other family members who, you know, the thing you always hear your whole life is, don't ever put me in a nursing home, you know, and it's a funny commercial that was running nationally a while, a place to put mom. It was the 1-800 number, and it was hilarious to hear, but it was like, wow, what a terrible, you know, a place to stick mom, you know. Mm-hmm. But what you have here sounds like something where you can feel at ease that, you know, that this is a good option, that this isn't, you know, sticking mom somewhere. This is,
exactly.
You know, this is, I keep coming to the word ministry. In a way, you know, I know that word has different connotations, but in this, it is sort of ministering to the spirit of people by giving them this dignified, comfortable place to where they can get their care and know that you know, many of their worries will be taken care of.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, we know that this is a stressful time for family members. And, you know, a lot of times they wait maybe a little bit too long before making that decision. But we try to allow them to come in and make it a smooth, seamless transition. We just offer so many things. The house does have a spiritual feel. We actually have a meditation room that is very serene and quiet, and we encourage family members to just make this their home for the time that their loved one is here. So,
how is Omega House funded?
Well, Omega House is funded 50% of our budget, roughly 50%, is through the room and board that the residents will pay when they stay at the Omega House. And I want to be clear on that. There is a fee, but it's based on income and a sliding fee scale. So if you make very little, you pay very little. We figured that the daily rate to take care of a resident is somewhere near $240 a day. But our statistics over the last 10 years have shown that the average resident pays around 40% of that, so maybe about $90 a day. So it's very affordable. So that's 50% of our budget. The other 50% would come through community donations, grants. So, you know, we do rely on the community for about $200,000 a year in donations. And that is, you know, that a lot of that comes through after their loved one passes away. They see how wonderful the Omega House was, and they like to give back, and it's usually through a donation of some sort. Some maybe don't do it in a monetary way, and a lot of them will come back and volunteer, become a full-time volunteer at Omega House, which we have lots of opportunities for volunteers. If, you know, caring for the dying isn't exactly what you want to do, don't worry about that. We have lots of other areas that you could help out. You could cook a meal for the residents. You could help out with yard maintenance. The grounds are so beautifully landscaped. Right now, everything's in bloom up at the house, and it just looks great. So if you have, you know, a talent in gardening or whatever, you know, we will find something for you to do, and you will find it very rewarding. And I've been told, statistics have shown that if you volunteer, it's better for you. You live longer is what they say. And, you know, we're always looking for more volunteers to help us out at the house.
I'm talking right now with Carol Peppercorn and Mike Lutz from Omega House, and joining me also in studio's Kirsten Barando. Now talking about funding, one way that people can help support Omega House is through by participating in one of your fundraising efforts. You have got a great concert coming up. I want to be able to make sure we talk about that.
Right. This year, our 10th anniversary concert takes place. The summer concert has become sort of a tradition at Omega House. It was begun, again, 10 years ago, and looked after by a woman by the name of Ruth Robertson, who is one of our summer residents and also performs in the concert. When Ruth could not be here one summer, Laura Nevis, who is well-known in the community, took over that role. And she wasn't able to do it this year, so we were very fortunate to find Kirsten Barando, who has performed in our concert and one of our favorite performers. She's taking over the role of, I guess you call it, concert mistress.
I hadn't heard that term before. Yeah,
that's old-fashioned.
Yeah. No, I think it's fantastic. I am happy to be the concert mistress. I've been calling myself like the music organizer or the but I think concert mistress is much. It's very classy. I'm excited about it. Yeah.
Harkens back to my classical piano training. Maybe that's it. But at any rate, so this year and every year, our concerts take on a theme. Last year, now I can't remember the theme, but this year the theme is I'll Walk Alone, which is the name of a song written by Rodgers and Hammerstein back in the 40s. And it has to do with resilience and keeping going. They wrote it for the musical Carousel. And this year, Mark Oliver, a very well-known local person, is going to be singing that. And it's July the 19th at St. Peter's and Paul Lutheran Church on Madeline Street in Houghton. And we ask a $10 donation. And we hope you'll all come up.
Well, what else is going to happen in the concert? Because I know I'm sure Mark Oliver's rendition of the song is going to be good. But what else do you have for the $10?
Oh my goodness, we have a fantastic range of music that I'm actually really excited about. Our own Chris Cairo is going to be singing. She's one of our morning DJ on 97.7 The Wolf, but she's going to be doing a Beatles song for us. Trying to remember which one she chose. Oh, she's doing In My Life. It's going to be, and she does this like smoky jazz kind of sound. It's really fantastic. And we have a good amount of Broadway. Somebody's actually doing something from Monty Python's Spamalot, which is going to be pretty funny. I'm excited about it. And yeah, so there's a huge range of music. It like starting at like jazz, a little bit of, I don't want to say folk. They were not pleased all the time by being called folk. But I think like a little bit of kind of like a pop blues kind of feel for some of our music, and going all the way over into true classical music. We have some Schubert that's gonna be sung, and some bisque. And so it is this huge range. You were saying that Laura wasn't going to be able to organize this year, which is true. She wasn't able to organize, but she is actually going to be singing. And she's one of my favorite local performers. Jared Anderson is also going to be performing. He's the head of the, it's not called Fine Arts, what is it, at Michigan Tech? He's the head of music and performing arts over at Michigan Tech. Who else do we have?
Courtney Clish. Is Courtney? No.
No. She is off celebrating. She's newly married and is over and celebrating that. Yeah, which is exciting for her. But we miss her. Maybe she'll be back next year. But, we also have the Calumet Players is doing Guys and Dolls in the fall. And so they have two of their leads are going to be singing and doing a small one-song preview for us of what they're doing in the fall. It really is a fantastic group of people doing some spectacular and a huge variety of music and performance.
That's what Kirsten has brought to this concert this year is, you said variety. It's just wonderful. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's quite a lineup. What do you got?
Oh, I forgot to mention that Bruce Rundman is going to be performing as well, which I'm excited to have him. he is a blast and a half.
You're going to have a great time at this concert.
I am going to have a great time at this concert. And I'm really excited because I know what Bruce is going to sing because I texted him just yesterday and let him know that if he didn't tell me what he was going to sing, I was going to put him down for Don't Stop Believin'. So he picked something really great.
Yeah.
You've performed in this before, correct?
I have. Concert? I was actually in the first concert. Yes. I think I did the first three when I was in high school, I think I did them every year until I moved away for a while, and then I was excited last year. When I had moved back to the area, Laura gave me a call, and at the end of the concert, she actually pulled me aside and said, "Hey, so, because I think that I've had, prior to this, I'd had maybe five conversations with Laura ever, but she came over and talked to me and said, "Hey, I think that you would be really great to do this next year. Would you consider it?" And I'm like, "I'm gonna consider it. Get back to me later in the year." And I thought about it, and I got really excited about it, and I started thinking about it, about what the concert could be, and talking to musicians that I knew in the area, and kind of starting to organize it. And I think I really am excited about it this year. I think it's gonna be fantastic.
So, are you pulling double duty? Are you gonna sing a song as well?
I am gonna be singing a song. I am doing a duet with a good friend of mine, Molly Trewartha. She's a teacher.
Oh, she's wonderful.
She is, isn't she? We were singing. We did a preview for Guys and Dolls up at the Calumet Theater, and we were carpooling and sang together. And it was our first time actually like putting our voices together.
Yeah.
And we were just like singing some songs. We're like, this sounds good. We sound good together. Like neither of us would have thought to sing like that our voices would line up, but it really sounded great. And we're like, we're gonna do something for Omega House. That's how this is gonna work. And we're doing. We're doing a song from Jekyll and Hyde, which doesn't sound like that sounds really strange to be a musical, but it's just one of the most beautiful duets that I've ever heard, and I've wanted to work on it for maybe probably as long as we've been doing this probably 10 years. Yeah, probably as long as we've been doing this concert, and so I'm happy to be doing it this year.
Why settle on the song You'll Never Walk Alone as the theme? What is the meaning of that?
So I had a list of songs that I was narrowing down, and You'll Never Walk Alone really kept on sticking out to me, and I think I'd narrowed it down to like two options, and Carol was looking at it, and I loved your interpretation of it. Can you talk about why you liked it?
Well, in life, as in death, as we're going into death, it's nice to know that we're not walking alone, that we support each other. And Chris Schmidt, who's a local graphic artist, met with us and put together a poster that typifies what I'm trying to say. It shows families walking, a young family, a little bit older family, and a family where one person is passing. And the big lake, Lake Superior, is out in the background. It's just... like I mentioned earlier, it's a song of hope and resilience. In the musical Carousel, there's a horrible experience that occurs, and somebody dies, and the person who starts singing is explaining to the people who are grieving that life is not over, and you have to keep going, and look upon life with hope. So I think that, you know, it just really, it's it says something to me as, and when I think about dying.
Yeah. I felt like it really does do an excellent job. Like, it talks about it addresses community that you can feel with your family or with a friend. Many of my singers chose to do someone that you love romantically. And that's absolutely true. But it also addresses the hardships. Like, it's not blind to those, to the hardships that you endure in life and loss that you can experience. But it finds an interesting kind of comfort in that, and in the fact that when you're going through all of those things, when you go through loss, when you are hurting for whatever reason, that you always have people with you, you always have hope, you always have meaning in life that surrounds you.
One of the things that we cover, that we deal with at Omega House, is a program called Advanced Care Planning, which is essentially a living will in one respect, but it also gives you a chance as a living person to think about how you want your final days to occur. And a product that we deal with called Five Wishes talks about that, but it also talks about spiritual and emotional and personal wishes. And you name an advocate in your life whom you would like to speak for you when you can't make a decision. And advanced care planning is something that I think sort of speaks to this whole issue of how you want to die. And people, I think, have a chance to sit back and think about dying not as something that's sad, although it is, of course, but it can be peaceful and a part of life. So I think the song I'll Walk Alone talks about that as well.
Yeah.
So the concert takes place on a Tuesday evening, July 19th. It is your 10th annual of concert of this type. And where's it at again?
St. Peter and Paul Lutheran Church on Madeline Avenue in Houghton.
Okay.
7 o'clock.
Do you need to buy the tickets ahead of time?
No. Simply come in, and we do ask a $10 donation.
Okay. Mike, a fundraiser like this, what does this mean for the Omega House itself?
Well, our fundraisers are very huge. They have a huge meaning. We rely on the strength of these fundraisers every year. It's part of our budget. They have been very successful, and you know, as you can see, this is our 10th summer concert. We've had our 14th annual golf outing in June, and we have we just set the date, I believe, for our fall concert, November 5th. So more details will be coming out on that. But we would really like to see a good turnout. It is a small donation, but it's a donation that'll support a very good cause. The Omega House is really important to our community, and we need to remain strong. So we do put a lot of emphasis, and I want to say thank you to both the ladies next to me here, that there's been a lot of work put into this, and I'm excited, and they've worked hard, and I think everyone out there will enjoy it. Please show up if you can. July 19th, 7 p.m.
Oh, I was just going to say, please come. It's going to be so much fun. It's such a fantastic concert and just a great community effort for Omega House.
Mike, if people want to know more about Omega House, whether them for themselves or for a loved one or a family member, how do they do that?
Well, you can do it in a couple of ways. One, you can go to our website, omega-house.org. Or better, why don't you just give me a call at Omega House,
482-4438.
I'm sorry, 4438. Or you can even send me an email. We could set up a meeting. That'd be michael.lutz@omega-house.org. If you haven't been to the Omega House, you really should come on up and see how beautiful it is up there. Any one of our staff, including myself, would be glad to give you a tour of the facility. It'd be well worth your time.
Thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.